Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Maverick. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bowe. We are coming to you on the last day of March, Tuesday, March 31st, a day. I just think of that scene from, God, what is it, where the assistant, she puts all of Ron Swanson's meetings on March 31st because she didn't think it was a real day.
Right. It's early 30 days in March.
Oh, God. The Dallas Mavericks lost to the Milwaukee Bucks 123-99. Not passing 100 is so amazing. Joined, as always, by Josh Bowe. How you doing, buddy?
I'm so glad. I mean, how many games are left? Like seven? Like
seven. Eight? Yeah, we have a lot in a row. Two late games next week.
This was the game that had me like reconsidering a lot of choices I've made in my life. Like, I think the big thing is that the last time the Mavericks were this bad was before COVID, and I might as well have been a completely different person back then. Like, that might as well have been 50 years ago.
It was the final days of the pre-Luka year.
Yeah. Like 2017, 20. Like, Jeff I'm Smith. Just thinking, like, yeah. Yeah, I had no response. Like, I had a job. I don't even, you know, I got married in 20. So like, I had nothing to do. Like, I had absolutely nothing to do. And I don't think it got to me that, cause I was sitting there, I was watching this. I was like, why does this feel so much worse than those tanking Luka seasons when at least we're watching, you know, Cooper Flagg, you know, those pre-Luka seasons, it was kind of Dennis Smith and that was it. I was like, why does this feel worse? And I realized, like, it's because I'm almost 10 years older and 10 years of life has settled on my body like algae out on an old abandoned pool or something. So I think that's it. But this game, I was just sitting there, I was like, this is such a waste of time. And I don't know. This was my breaking point game.
It's amazing. So the Mavericks tonight only rolled out 10 players, and it's really something in that, you know, it was 10 players, five of which I wonder if they have, I mean, when Moussa Cisse hasn't played in a month. Okay. The range of guys that were thrown out tonight really haven't played much basketball together. But, and so it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all that team looked like shit.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about when we were like, it could get worse. And they played the it could get worse lineup tonight. We were talking about watching the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the game sort of started in one way where, and I'd wondered about this, big picture thinking, like Ryan Rollins, what he does for the Bucks. Like, Ryan Rollins is an outstanding guard. Ryan Rollins is the kind of guard I believe needs to be on the Dallas Mavericks for Cooper Flagg to have a successful next season. Just, you know, put that in your back pocket. Obviously, Kyrie Irving exists. I'm not a moron. But Ryan Rollins is a bigger attacking guard. He is a meld of the various guards that the Mavericks think they have right now. Like, you got Brandon Williams, who's like one move is go fast. But past that, he's just not that helpful. He passes kind of as the last resort. And so this game in the first half, like, when you give up 38 points to this Milwaukee Bucks team in the first quarter, it's bad. And it only got worse from there. You know, Cooper, I don't know how to say this because, like, I want Cooper Flagg to win Rookie of the Year.
He's not winning Rookie of the Year.
He's not according to the voting, which would be pretty, at least according to the odds, which would be something considering he would be the first. There's only been like four other rookies that have ever hit his statistical markers, and they're all Hall of Famers.
I know.
And so, but we're to the point now where I think Cooper playing is almost detrimental. A Bucks fan I know messaged me and was like, I hate how you guys are using Cooper. And it's like, they don't really have any choice. Like, they got to put the ball in his hands. He is, like, one day I think we'll look back and understand that Cooper is better as a play finisher. I think we know that now, but we do understand, like, the reps that Cooper is getting should have value in the long term. But, like, I'm just kind of fucking tired of watching him ISO and try to make something out of nothing, because Klay Thompson doesn't play and Max Christie has been shit for 2 months. So as a result, everybody's just sitting on Cooper's drives. He has nothing to, or that's not fair. He doesn't have anywhere to go. Like, he'll like reverse pivot and all of a sudden Kyle Kuzma's digging out from underneath him because they don't fear Cooper passing anyone. It's just they're such a chore to watch right now, and I don't really know what to do with this.
Yeah, and this, and I mean, this was the, they've been playing the most Cooper friendly lineup for the last couple games now too. So like, they've been playing him with a point guard, like Ryan Nembhard has started the last couple games. They've been playing him with shooting, like Max Christie and Chris Middleton have started these last couple games. Daniel Gafford, like a rim runner, although he didn't play in the second half because that dude is just perpetually injured, I guess, now, unfortunately. They didn't do the, you know, Cooper at point, no shooting, you know, Najee PJ lineups that they've been rolling out, which we talked about. Like, that is just untenable when you have Cooper surrounded with, you know, two non-shooting wings and a non-shooting big. Well, now they've got a point guard and two shooters around Cooper and a rim runner, and it still looks bad. So, like, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at the lineup, like, what are they supposed to do differently to make this easier for them? And I think the answer is nothing. The roster stinks, and it's just going to look like this for the last seven games, which is unfortunate. Like, maybe they could do some stuff with him as, like, an setting screen, like on ball screens maybe more, and like have him being more of like a pick and roll finisher, facilitator kind of thing, get him on the move there. But like, I mean, there's seven, like, who cares? Like, they're not going to do it. Like, it's, there's only so many games left. They're not going to be like, hey Cooper, let's do this thing that you've never done all season. We're going to try this out. Even though like everyone's probably checked out and ready to make their vacation plans for the summer. Like, It's just not realistic. Like, the time to try that was probably like in December, January, before the All-Star break. They're just gonna ride this out. Like, I'm not worried about bad habits, and like, again,
me either.
The on-ball reps will, it, you know, you gotta crack a, what, make a good omelet, you gotta crack a few eggs or whatever. Like, right. I can believe in that. But like you said, it's just gonna be like, it's just a miserable watch. It's a horrible watch. It's not gonna change.
There's two players that add a lot to the night-to-night watchability. One is Marvin Bagley, and the other is Klay Thompson. Klay provides spacing and some kind of just what the fuck is going to happen. And Marvin Bagley provides like kind of a supersized version of Dwight Powell in terms of just energy and chaos. And when those things aren't in the game, it doesn't work out. Like Moussa Cisse tonight, his first game in a month.
He's, you know, awesome. It's insane to me that they did not find a way to make him play every game, like convert his contract. I don't know what, you know, that was. Go ahead.
He's a bright spot tonight. 22 minutes, 13 rebounds. They've got to find a way to figure out something with him. Like, he's just an ideal back, like him and Bagley as your backup bigs. You can make this work.
No, they absolutely need. I mean, I know we like, you know, people like him, but like, they have to find a way to trade Gafford and roll with, figure out if Lively is healthy, and then roll with, like, I'd be fine with Cisse being the third big off the bench, or maybe even second, depending on the night. Like, I don't know what their aspirations are going to be for next season, but like, why not, man?
Sure. Well, okay. So just for full clarification, so everybody understands this, like, Josh and I are quite literally contractually obligated to do recaps for these games. And thank goodness for the Dallas Mavericks and their just constant ability where someone within the organization or adjacent to the organization has been making news, because Josh and I would not be able to get another 20 minutes out of this game. There's just nothing to talk about. Like, this game was over with 5 minutes into the third quarter, and I don't want to harp on things anymore. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the news from the past 2 days, because for the first time in quite a while, I'm actually grateful that Mark Cuban had something to say, largely because he gives us something to talk about on the podcast. So hang out with us here for a few seconds here. Let me do some business. If you listen to the ads, that's the main way you can support this show. Very much appreciate everybody who is still sticking with us during thick and thin. Obviously, it's tough right now. I don't blame you if you've tuned out, you're not hearing this. But folks that are kind of checked out, I get it. The fact that our staff is still like writing things I'm like pretty like joyful about makes me laugh. And that's Moneyball. Second way, You can, you know, tell your friends, if you have any Mavs sickos in your lives, you can say, hey, you know, go subscribe to Pod Maverick. These guys are recording all the time. The third way is there's a couple of links in the show notes if you're feeling generous. We'll be right back, and we will talk about a few more things.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, Josh, I know we had sort of, you know, there needs to be a sign associated with our podcast where it's like it's been 0 days since Mark Cuban himself into the Dallas Mavericks news stream. The last time he had done so was where Mark Stein was reporting that Mark Cuban was potentially leading up a group of investors to buy back the Mavericks. Mark very much seems to insist that it wasn't him, to which I have to say, okay. You know, I don't really care, but it was still a discussion we had to have. We couldn't ignore it. It was news. But the last 2 days, there have quite literally been two new Mark Cuban things. Yesterday, he told the Dallas Morning News that he regretted selling to the Adelsons, like outright said he regretted selling to the Adelsons, which we didn't discuss last night. We made the executive decision not to talk about it because I think there was the college stuff. And I would much rather hear Tyler talk about that than talk about non-basketball things. Did you have any reaction to that piece?
The Mark Cuban stuff?
Yeah, the piece in Dallas Morning News yesterday where he literally told the Dallas selling to the Adelsons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he regrets a lot of things. He's made a lot of bad business moves in his life. Like, I don't, like, chalk it up. It's like the 500,000th bad business move he's made. Like, not trying to be mean. Like, it's like, this is like public information, like not to be like crass, but like I remember watching like an episode of Shark Tank when I used to watch it. And I think they did like a thing, like they're like, here's like the sharks that have made the most money or something. Like Cuban was not on that list or something like that. You know, maybe I'm talking out my ass, but yeah, I was just like, yeah, no duh. Well, and also does he, I don't know if he actually regrets it. Does his bank account regret it? Like he made a lot of money. So he might regret it in a weird, like moral way. But I mean, at the end of the day, he wanted the cash. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I don't know how regretful he really is.
That's
for him to answer. That's only for him and God to know.
Uh-huh.
So that's my reaction.
Well, so that was interesting kind of on its face. And, you know, I've been listening to the Pablo Torre, his podcast. He has this former Marlins GM. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's like, he's a real ass about sports business. And he's largely made the case, and just because he's so blunt about it, where he's made the case now that just about every sports franchise, you don't make money year over year. You make money in the sale. And so Mark Cuban, and he sort of indicated this before he sold the team, that he was cash poor and he was having a hard time coming up with stuff despite being a billionaire on paper. No judgment here, but it was becoming increasingly difficult to run the day-to-day operations of the team with kind of his assets on hand. And so he decided to sell to somebody who had more and was in a group that seemed to be willing to invest in this. And so for him to sort of come back around and say, oh, I regret that I did this, like, that's just a pure hindsight, like, fan value play. I don't even mind that he sold the team. I really don't.
I think we all kind of celebrated that a little bit in a way.
and even now, knowing what we know, I don't mind it because he was at the point where it was very clearly sort of like a strain to operate the team. He didn't operate in the luxury tax after being a luxury tax guy through the 2011 season. It's just like it becomes increasingly expensive. And yes, he bought the team for $280 million whenever he did it. And he sold his piece for, you know, roughly like 12 times that. So he very clearly, you know, made his portion back. Good for him. But it's difficult to, I think, for some of these guys in the NBA to operate week, you know, year over year. And he had said he lost money on the Mavs like every year. Like, now knowing what I know about sort of the how the franchise is run, that seems to be fairly common, because the guys run these teams for like 10, 12, 15 years, and then they sell at, even though they've been losing money, they sell because the valuation is increased by whatever fold. And so Mark Cuban now gets right off into the sunset. So that was sort of news story number one. Then we got news that he was going on a podcast, and I cannot remember the name of it. And like, look, we run a podcast out of our houses. Okay. You can check the number of YouTube subscribers. You can ask me about the number of downloads. My friend Spike Eskin once said to me, he's like, when I told him what our monthly downloads were, he was like, you could fill American Airlines Center and then some with the number of people who have listened to your podcast. He's like, don't make fun of yourselves. He's like, you've done a good job. And so I think about that sometimes whenever I feel, compared to our competitors, that we don't do a very good job. I will simply say that at least when it comes to YouTube, we have more going on than this podcast that Mark went on yesterday. Don't know who these guys were. Sounded like very nice men. But as kind of usual, anytime anyone interviews Mark Cuban, they have to ask about the Luka trade. And so I am sort of sitting here listening to this podcast, and he makes two pieces of news that I consider news. The first, he very blatantly said Michael Finley, specifically Michael Finley, had no knowledge whatsoever about the Luka Doncic trade. Find that very interesting. Very interesting. Don't know why he didn't say Matt Riccardi too. But I guess Matt Riccardi might not have been with the team when, I don't remember the timing of when Riccardi joined the team.
No, Riccardi's been here since 2022.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because he was like the cap guy from the Nets that was brought in to really help.
He was, yeah. They brought in that was another guy, but he was from the Nets. He was like their draft guy when they had all those really good drafts, right before they blew up the team to do the KD Kyrie stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when that team was really good with Kenny Atkinson, yep, right before the super team, he had, you know, he was part of that front office that found a lot of those diamonds in the rough, you know, Jared Allen, Nick Claxton,
right.
You know, all that team.
That's right. And yeah. And so he then goes on to say, and this is where the news element was. So we're roughly 14 months removed from Doncic being traded. And he says he leads with Jason Kidd had coached Anthony Davis, who's obviously very like attuned to his game, and says that Nico Harrison was obviously very interested in Anthony Davis, having known him for like 20 years. Actually said since he was 13 years old, which was just a creepy phraseology that made me laugh. And then goes on to say that there was confirmation bias and that both guys were responsible for trading of the best player. This was news in a literal sense, in that when the trade occurred, Nico Harrison took full responsibility early and often until he was fired, saying that this was his thing to execute. Everyone with eyes, ears, and a brain that isn't, you know, just, I don't know, just like a Jason Kidd truther was like, oh, of course Jason Kidd's involved. Like, look, he showed up, he was there in the Cleveland Cavaliers press conference the next day, though he looked like, when he sat down in the chair, I just watched it. I watched part of it during the game again. When he sat down in that chair, he looked like, I have made a grave mistake. Face, like, just very funny watching his expressions. To which it's like, we've kind of talked about this for a while. You know, Tim McMahon has indicated that, of course, Jason Kidd played a role. Like, there's all sorts of off the, like, not, I don't know what you call it, like off the record, but there's been like enough news to know it's like, well, yeah, of course Jason Kidd played a role, like, duh. But to hear Mark Cuban say it is news. And I sort of wonder if Mark knew that, or if he didn't, because Mark talks so much and you know, talks to lots of different people. What is and isn't on the record from the Maverick side is probably hard to keep track of. And you know, he didn't say it like in a frustrating way. He was just like very matter of fact, but it was like, I consider it news. Like, we've not covered it in Mavs Moneyball yet, just because I think we're all kind of worn out, but I was a little like, oh wow. What did you think of it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he always, it's one of those things where we all knew, but it's nice. It's nice to have someone with somewhat authority kind of saying something like this, because again, like you said, it's all like, you know, it's reporting and it's sources say. So like when we say something, fans will be like, oh, well, that's just that snake Tim McMahon. You can't believe him. He's lying media. And it's like, okay, well, now Cuban said it. And I guess, you know, Cuban has his own agendas that he's pushing too. You know, I mean, he's it's been weird. You know, he sold the team. He, you know, he's been put it, ever since the Luka trade, he has been doing so much media to try to spin this like he is not to blame, kind of a victim. Not victim might be a strong word, but he's been clearly trying to be like, see, I'm the one who can, you know, it wasn't me. I'm the one who can fix this. This is what's wrong. Like, you know, putting that story through Stein that he wants to buy back the team. Like he's been pretty consistent. I mean, and you know, he's good at staying in the news. Like it's what he's been doing his whole life. So part of it's that, like part of it is just him creating headlines, because that's what he likes to do. And then another part of it is like he's clearly trying to influence decision making with the team, because he has no actual decision making power anymore. We've gotten stories that he's trying to get back in with like Dumont and be like his advisor, and like, does that mean he wants to help him pick the next GM? I don't, you know, there's a lot there.
See, that's where the first two stories are interesting to me, because it's like he's positioned the story, meaning yesterday, saying he wished he didn't sell to Dumont to the Adelsons. That's where these two things together is just so fascinating to me, because he's tried to position himself for a couple of months now as you know, kind of an advisor. You don't say that shit out loud if you're still getting listened to, which to me makes, I think he has been shoved all the way the fuck out. And maybe we will find out in 3 or 4 months that he's been bought down to the 7%. None of that is really of my concern. Like, I don't care about the backroom politics. I do find like Cuban still has a megaphone though. So him saying this it's just kind of wild to me.
Yeah. It's weird because like you said, he doesn't have any real power, and that little power he has can shrink whenever, kind of at the snap of the Adelson's fingers. I don't know. There's a part of me that's kind of like, you're right, you're like, this gives us something to talk about that's not the games. But there's another part of me that's like, I'm just like, I don't want to hear him speak anymore.
So can I add one more?
No, go ahead, because you're way more fired up about this than me.
Well, so I'm more fired up about it. And look, I am not a media member in the way that some of these guys who go to games and have to deal with the Mavericks players, coaches, ownership, whatever, every day. And when you are in the media, it seems like you have to play a pretty difficult game of trying not to piss off everybody around you, because at a certain point you can lose your access. Like they, you know, there's freedom of the press and all this, yada, yada, but they can also ice you out. That's a thing that can happen. And so I'm saying that as a precursor to really being more than a little frustrated that since the trade, I don't remember anyone on record in a post-game press conference, pre-game press conference, whatever, directly asking Jason Kidd what his role was within the Luka Doncic trade. I don't remember if that has happened. It could have happened. So if that's the case, maybe what I'm about to say is not fair. And if so, I apologize in advance. But here's the thing. Brad Townsend, Dallas Morning News, longtime reporter, longtime Dallas Mavericks coverage guy, got in front of Kidd tonight and essentially asked him about these comments that Cuban made on the podcast. Okay.
And props to Brad for actually like asking him about it.
Absolutely right. I wish it would have happened earlier, but props to Brad for getting on it. And here is this guy's response, Jason Kidd. When are we going to move on? We have to move forward. We're focused on the present and the future, and we've got an incredible opportunity to build. Like, fuck out of here. Like, I'm sorry. Shit pisses me off. Evades responsibility once again. Also doesn't deny it, which is a big part here. Okay. Jason Kidd has an excellent playoff record. I'm not stupid. Do you know who he had on his team where he got that awesome playoff record? Luka Doncic, who he played a role in trading away. He has been head coach of teams that had Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, Cooper Flagg. Do you know where his career record sits right now? Regular season?
He's below 500 regular
season. Below 500 with three generational talents. He might be an outstanding single game or series game coach. In fact, I'm going to go out of my way to say he is. He is a shit regular season coach. He sucks.
I think he has the most playoff series wins in Mavericks
coaching. Yeah, he beat out Carlisle. Yeah.
This is funny.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like, no, but it's important to note, because when assessing Jason Kidd, you have to look at the facts. And the facts are he's won a ton of playoff games. The other facts are he's only finished above the top four. Like, he's finished a regular season in the top four of the Western Conference one time. And that was the time when Luka ended up being hurt because of the Utah Jazz series. And they lost the first game and immediately lost home court. So the positions that Kidd put his team in the regular season, and of course, he is only partially responsible for this stuff. After all, this is the motherfucker who once responded to a question with, "I'm watching just like you guys." So me personally, like, I've wanted every single person associated with the Luka Doncic trade gone from the moment it happened, but I'm also a realist. And at the time, Nico Harrison was enough. Now I'm back on board. Fire this fucking guy. I am tired of him being the head coach. You know, I'm tired of all the constant drama. And if you think I'm wrong about there being constant Jason Kidd related drama, go check out Offseason Reports, where he floats his own name for different jobs and then all of a sudden gets another extension. Well, he could leave the Mavs. He could leave the Mavs to go to the Lakers. He could leave the Mavs to go to the Knicks. It's who's doing that? Him. And it, you know, cool negotiation strategy. Like, I got to give kudos there. Like, seriously, that's quite interesting. But I'm tired of the nonsense. Like, he is a two-time Hall of Famer. He has been a part of my life personally. I am 40. I'm approaching 42. He has been a part of my life since 1993. Since I was nine. I appreciate everything he's brought to my fandom. I am tired of him being the coach of my basketball team for the same reasons that you and I were really skeptical of him in 2021. In 2021, we were very skeptical of him. And I'm just like, clean slate, start over, bring in a new GM in the offseason who should hire a new coach. Get all this out and then show Cooper Flagg that this is not a clown car of an organization. That's actually why I'm really steamed about this, man. Because if I'm Cooper and I'm hearing any of this stuff, I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this place, man?
Yeah, can you guys? Can you just not be normal? Can you just be normal? It's crazy. Mark Cuban just being like, I wish I didn't sell, and basically saying, yeah, Kidd did it too. Like, it's so messy. It's so messy. I'm just kind of over it. And it does kind of feel like there needs to be like a reset button. Like, if you're going to hit the reset button, hit it all the way. But I don't know, man. Kidd, if there's one thing Kidd's really good at, it's coming out on top in these situations.
The best in the business.
For the most part. I mean, he ran out of rope in Milwaukee and had to kind of, but then, punishment for failing out in Milwaukee was he got to, you know, sit on the Lakers bench and win a championship with LeBron. So like, there are worse fates than that. But I don't know. Maybe the Knicks flame out and he's that maybe that rumor pops up again this summer.
He'll stare me down at Summer League and do whatever, because I'm not a normal Mavericks media member. He absolutely recognized me at Summer League last year. I just, you know, that was fun. Getting stared down by a guy who I had a poster on my wall when I was 12. It, look, I just had to, because it's like, you know, we've been, sometimes I feel that we as a fan base, because a lot of people have sort of jumped ship at this point of the season, don't understand the life raft that was thrown to us in this, in the frame of Cooper Flagg.
Okay. Yeah. No. Could you imagine this season without Cooper?
Yeah.
With like Cedric Coward or whatever his name is, like, who's awesome, but like, just it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But no, I don't blame, like, you know, I don't know what the answer is. If I wanted to say what would be best for the Mavericks moving forward, perhaps it would be with a new coach, and just start fresh with Cooper Flagg. I mean, there are some things that are, you know, the team plays hard. There seems to be a culture of giving a shit for the most part. But then again, like, does it really matter if you're winning 24 games? Like, every season, like, it's kind of crazy when you look at, like, you know, this is two straight awful years. Like, kid's been the head coach since, so 2022 was his first season, 2021, 2022. I mean, so he's been here 5 years, and they've missed the playoffs 3 out of 5, but then the other two are Western Conference Finals. And it's just crazy. Like after that 2023 season, like, that's one of the most disappointing seasons in the history of the NBA. Like, if you ask me, the Mavericks not making the playoffs. So yeah, I don't know. To me, it comes down to, like, if he's here, like, is he going to be the GM? Is he going to be like the shadow GM? Like, how much influence does he have on the rest of the roster? And, like, here's the thing, like, how can you, if your head coach was in favor of trading Luka, and we said this back when he was traded, like, how can you make this guy have any personnel influence at all? Like, if this is a guy that was, like, cool with trading Luka. Mm-hmm. So that's another part that's like, okay, let's say you're someone that thinks Kidd is the right coach for the job, but do you trust his personnel decisions and how much influence he could have there after what's, you know, he wanted JaVale McGee to be this, he wanted to bring in JaVale McGee to be a starting center a couple years ago. You know, clearly didn't have a problem trading Luka. So yeah, I don't know. It's a big mess, and it's kind of crazy how messy it is. And I feel like it's only going to get messier as they're trying to get a new arena built. They're trying to find a GM.
Enough of that news. I'm tired of that shit being pushed on us.
I know. I think that's mainly trying to be like a distraction on some of the stink. What did you like about the story about Dumont's Christmas list of GMs and it being like the 4 best GMs in the NBA?
I'm getting reasonably made fun of for a tweet that I had where it's like, essentially Dumont's pitch is, I'm the dumbest motherfucker in the NBA. Please take my giant wad of money and fix my franchise. That's the only pitch. And so people are like, well, yeah, of course that's the pitch. And I'm just like, they're right. Everyone is right. I'm just like, the Dumont of it all exists where it's just like, this guy's our owner.
Yeah.
What it's about. It's like, fuck this.
If you have fuck you money, you're going to go try to spend it on the best, best people. I mean, presumably it was just very funny when I saw that story come up, cause it reminded me of Bobby Newport from Parks and Rec. Just, he's like, come on, just give me it. Just give it to me. It's like, just a rat, you know, it's just a rich guy who isn't used to being told no. Of course he's going to want to hire Sam Presti. Like, of course Sam Presti's on his wish list. Cause how many times has this dude been told no in his entire life? Like, he's just, I give you all the money and you do the thing. Like, that's how this works. Right. That's probably his thought process on a lot of this stuff. So I don't blame him, but it was just funny. It was just classic, you know, dumb rich guy story, which is fine. And we'll see what happens.
This is great. I have this Chuckle Fuck Laker fan arguing with me on Twitter, being like, well, this is all gossip. And it's like, I need all right, one last thing.
Yeah.
Mavericks fans, part of why I got into this, part of why I really wanted to do this, is I felt Mark Cuban had such a bully pulpit within the Mavericks media that he created the what we jokingly referred to for a really long time as state media. Okay. he would berate. He would essentially so dominate and flood the zone with conversation that you had two choices. You could either ignore him completely and be ostracized, or you could report the things he was saying because he was constantly saying them. When a newsmaker says things, you have to report them. You can ignore them. You ignore them at your own peril, within a media environment.
Yeah, and I know. Now with, you need views to make money. So
yes, and so over the last 20 years, between 2000 and when he sold the team in 2022, he is in no small part responsible for the kind of Mavs fan who believes nothing the local media says. Like, who believes nothing that Brad Townsend says, that Tim McMahon says, whatever. Because he would get out there and argue with them while also being an off-the-record source for them. Like, it was the kind of craziness that went on. Like, it's just the media stuff, and this is not just Cuban. This is just, like, media sourcing in general. Like, there's just stuff that happens. And so it's like I get in arguments with these people who are like Tim McMahon will go out there and say, I saw this happen, blah, blah. And you'll just get responses where it's like, well, fuck Tim McMahon. He's a snake. I don't believe him. And, you know, how did that come to be? A lot of different reasons, but no small part because the owner would get on his treadmill or Stairmaster and kind of mock actual reporting that was done. So 15 years later, we're kind of in this situation where no one wants to believe the facts as presented to them. Like, I get it if you don't want to believe Mark Cuban that Jason Kidd was involved in the trade. But at some point, you should probably believe Mark Cuban, Brad Townsend, Tim McMahon, everybody saying that there is smoke. At that point, there's fire. That's just
also, just use your brain. Like, Nico and Kidd were a package deal. Like,
yes.
Nico was only the GM because he got to bring in Kidd. Like, literally said that on the record multiple times. Like, the idea that this was like done behind Kidd's back is just when like they go hand in hand, like they were a package deal, is just silly. Like, we can argue about how much Kidd wanted him gone. Mm-hmm. There's probably levels to it, but the idea that Kidd was just like, oh, I'm just as surprised as you guys are, is like, just use your fucking brain. Like, it's not that hard. Kidd and Nico were very close working together. Like, he knew in some shape or fashion. Clearly he didn't care enough to raise a stink about it. Cause if he didn't want Luka traded, then he probably would have fought a little, you know, we would have heard more about something like that. We'll just say that, especially with how Kidd is good at flooding the zone and trying to get his angle out there. So.
Yep. Oh, well, I'm sure I'm going to get yelled at by somebody about this. This has been fun. We'll be back Friday. The Mavericks play somebody else. I don't know who. Don't really care right now, because we get 2 days off in a row, which is fantastic. Head over to Mavs Moneyball. We have a series of pieces coming from our guy, Michael, about how the potential lottery, how the kind of the things the NBA has proposed could affect the Mavericks. We have it's a 4-day series that we have coming along with everything else that might be going up. So check that out when you have time. Thanks so much for hanging out. Josh, you be good. Everybody else be good, and go Mavs.